The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Would you take your Bibles, please? We are eventually going to end up in, two or three places, but we'll end up in Jeremiah. You can go ahead and turn there. Will be in the first chapter. Wanted to tell you about an experience I had yesterday. I was invited. Leanne Crosby has a friend who is associated with the Roman Catholic Parish Holy Family in Citrus Heights. And the Roman Catholic Church is embarking on what they're calling a listening synod gathering. And they are asking also non-Roman Catholics to be a part of that. And we went to the event. It lasted a couple of hours. And we talked about things like, what in your church gives you hope? What is life-giving in your church? Those kinds of questions. Met an interesting fellow. He was Ethiopian. And he said that he felt called to come to the United States to be a missionary. And he runs an organization called Mercy Holistic Ministry, and it is mostly focused on homeless, transient community ministry to them. Really interesting fellow. Which made me think about calling, and with this week's pericope of Scripture being in Jeremiah, it's a really good opportunity to talk about calling. And I sent you a text last night asking, do you have a calling, or is a calling just for missionary pastor types, or is a calling for anyone who claims Christ? We talk a lot around here about participating with God in His purposes for the world. You hear me talk about that a lot. That's, in my view, all of our callings, to participate with Christ in His purposes for the world. So what are Christ's purposes for the world? You've heard me talk about this a lot. And if you had to have just a little short, we'll call it an elevator speech, even shorter than that, what do you think Christ's purposes are for the world? Talk to me. To redeem the world. Good. That's nice and concise. I like that, yes? To tell His story and show people what their place in it should be. I love it. Good. Keep them coming. What are Christ's purposes for the world? Somebody else? To witness to others. Good. Somebody else? To love one another. It's a commandment, isn't it? Right. Somebody else? Bob says to glorify God. Bill? To walk out your baptism. There's another wonderful, concise thing that might get somebody to say, well, gee, what does that mean? What does that mean to walk out your baptism? Tell me more about that. Yes, I saw a hand over here. Yes, that's nice. Perhaps you couldn't hear that. God's called us in this world to be prepared for eternity. So that has some consequences, right? There's some things that come out of that. Anybody else? Yes, John? Serving other people. The answer that I give and often talk with you about is we are to participate with Christ in His purpose of turning right side up again an upside down world. And I think all of what you said fits in that. We live in an upside down world. And the place that it turned upside down is the garden in the long ago, when the evil one beguiled humankind into exchanging worship of the Creator with worship of the creature. That's when things fell upside down. And our calling, I believe, is to participate with Christ in His purposes, which include all of those wonderful things you said, which amount to this, rewriting an upside down world. Today I want you to think about four different questions. Number one, what is your calling? And that would also include maybe a specific calling, task, place. I also want you to consider what is not your calling. That's tough, maybe. That's going to cause us to have some self-reflection, yeah? Even now, maybe your mind is going through, okay, maybe that's not my, right? Two more questions. Who is the authorized caller? When you get the calling, what does the caller ID say? Fourth and final question, who is not your authorized caller? What's your calling? What's not your calling? Who is the authorized caller and who is not the authorized caller? Have that in your noggin as we go through today and the conversation. I want to play Who's Who. I'm going to give you some clues about a character in the Bible, and I want you to see if it sounds familiar to you. This particular person was chosen from the womb. This particular person was destined for rejection and conflict with his own people. This person was called to celibacy. This person was likened to a sacrificial lamb. This person was betrayed by those closest to him. This person preached against the temple system and the people's faith in it and predicted its destruction. This person was opposed and persecuted by the chief priests for his message. This person was condemned to death. This person was tried by a partly sympathetic but weak-willed civil magistrate. And this person was cast into a pit and raised up again. Sounds a lot like Jesus. But I'm talking about Jeremiah. All of those things pertain to Jeremiah. And by the way, I'll give you the scripture references for each of those if you'd like to look at them later. I want to talk about Jeremiah today and more particularly examine his calling and then take a look at those four things that I mentioned earlier, those four questions. Jeremiah lived about 650 to about 570 BC, and he was a Hebrew prophet and he was a reformer. He was closely involved in the political and religious events of his day in a crucial time in the life of Judah. Remember that the children of Israel have had civil war, and they divided themselves into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom is called Israel, the southern kingdom is called Judah, and mostly, there were times when they didn't fight, but mostly they fought. And you will remember that mostly the kings associated with the northern kingdom were really evil and wicked, certainly wicked. And most of the kings in the southern kingdom were not, but there were some bad ones too. He was a spiritual leader, Jeremiah, and he helped his fellow countrymen through some really very difficult times, most especially when Babylon comes along and captures Jerusalem. There was a several-year siege. It happened in some waves. In about 586, Jerusalem falls, and most of the people are carted off. Not all, but most. Remember, that's the time when they gouged out the king's eyes and took him bound to Babylon. He was born and grew up in a village just a few miles north of Jerusalem in a priestly family. And his early messages, even from very early on, were condemnation of the people. What a great... good news, Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet. Bad news, you're going to condemn your people. Condemnation of them for their false worship and social injustice, with really some bold calls for repentance. What do we got to repent for? You must repent, Jeremiah is saying. He delivered a famous temple sermon, and there are two iterations of it in the book of Jeremiah. I encourage you to read it. And he was denouncing the people for their dependence on the temple and faith in the temple system, etc. And thought that having this system, listen to me, would inoculate them from any foreign power coming in and taking them over. We've got God. God's on our side. We're special. We have this temple. We have these things. We've got these priests. We've got all this stuff. And he predicted that God would destroy that temple. Isn't it interesting that the temple of God kind of became an idol? And God destroys the very thing that in some ways they had gotten idolatrous about. Isn't that ironic? He predicted that that would happen just like it happened in Shiloh in the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. And if they continued down their current path, they were headed for destruction. So his message was unpopular. It was not what you would read in the top 10 things you should do to grow your church. It was not a popular message. Sure enough, Jerusalem does fall to the Babylonians. But something interesting happened to Jeremiah before that happened. When he preached this message, the temple's going to be destroyed, you're going to be overtaken, here's what happened. He was arrested. and tried on a capital charge. He was acquitted, but historians think he may have been, get this, he may have been prohibited ever to preach or teach in the temple precincts again. We don't like your message, so you can't talk anymore. We forbid you to do that. Saw a little item in the news last night. A prominent Finnish member of parliament, someone from Finland, a member of parliament, was in court in Helsinki this week, accused of hate speech after quoting the Bible. The former minister of the interior was charged by the prosecutor general of Finland over a Twitter post in which she criticized the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland's decision to work in partnership with a sexual equality organization. She criticized them for that and asked in her tweet how they could reconcile that with what the Bible has to say about homosexuality, same-sex, so on. She's a doctor who's married to a Lutheran pastor and is being prosecuted for three charges of ethnic agitation under the heading of war crimes and crimes against humanity in Finnish law. And if she's found guilty, she could face prison time. Not entirely like, but somewhat similar to the situation with Jeremiah. He's preaching a message that they don't want to hear, so he's forbidden to speak. Turn to Jeremiah 1, would you? And remember, you're thinking about what is your calling, what is not your calling, who's the caller, who's not the caller. We're thinking about parallels between Jeremiah and Jesus. Similar stories. Let's look at his calling. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Some of you may have the translation, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign God, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Some translations, I'm but a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Part of that encounter reminds me of that in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah responds to this word from the Lord, this theophany, and says, I am a person of unclean lips. I live with a bunch of people with unclean lips. And remember that the cherubim takes the coal from the altar and touches his lips and says, see, now you are clean. So I want you to just scan that. Let me ask you some questions. First of all, about the caller. Who's doing the calling? Yeah. And in part, why is he doing the calling? Can you talk with me about that a moment? Why? Why is he calling? Why is God calling? Ring, ring. Why is God calling? Give him a purpose. What else? He had already been set apart from the womb. By the way, remember that in theological language, setting apart can also be said to mean to be made holy. I'm setting you apart. We pray over the oil. Oh, Holy Spirit, set this apart for a holy purpose. God's saying, I know who you are. For me, that's one of the main reasons he's calling. I know who you are. I set you apart. I knew you. I chose you even before you were even aware of it. I know you. I know you. Remember also in theological thinking, to know in the Bible is a lot more than just noggin. I really know you. So the caller is God. And listen, even though he really knows you, even though he really knows me, he chooses us anyway. He knows the good and the bad, the strengths, the weakness. Notice also that there's something here about the caller and the way the caller says who he is, talks about his own authority, God calls because he has the ultimate authority. This is very much like covenant language, covenant structure. The sovereign says something about himself. Lest you think this is about you, I want to say something about me. What are those words that you see there? Well, I formed you. This is something I did. I appointed you. And if I appoint you to be a prophet to the nations, that means I have authority over the nations. Yes? And he says, Sovereign Lord, Jeremiah recognizes who the caller is. You are sovereign. And like Moses at that burning bush in the long ago, he says, I can't say anything at all. I fall to my knees. This is a holy place because God and I are talking together. The Lord is here. He has the authority. This is holy ground. Who's calling you? Second, I want you to look a little bit at the called. Jeremiah is the called one. What do we learn about Jeremiah in these verses? Can you figure out anything? Is he a ute? he might be a youth. What else do you learn about Jeremiah? Speculate with me a little bit. A little holy speculation. Yes, Barb. He's afraid. I think you can make the case for saying that. Maybe a holy fear, but maybe appropriate fear, but there's fear there. What else? What do you learn about Jeremiah? Heather is saying maybe he has trouble speaking. It might also be that could be understood as, in light of who you are, I don't have anything to say. I recognize who I am, the called, in light of who you are, the caller. Yes. He may lack some confidence. What do I know? Yes, Barb. He's nothing particularly special. I like that. He's one of us. Let's look at the calling itself. We've looked at the caller. We've looked at the called. Let's look at the calling. What is the calling? What is the calling? What is he being called to? Talk to me. I love that. Very good. To fulfill God's purposes. Well said. Yes? He's been commanded to speak. But once again, lest you think this is about you, I'm going to tell you what to say. Yes, Barb? Yes. I'm going to have you speak, even though you say you can't or that you're too young. By the way, from God's perspective, that's maybe perfect. Somebody who thinks they know everything might not be so easily used by God. And you're going to go to the nations. Try that on for size, Jeremiah. Yes? Part of the calling is don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Tracy, four things. Let's count them off. Tell them. Shout them out. Uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow. By his might, by the prophetic words that God gives. He's also going to build and to plant. Now, not only you, but if, first of all, I think I would just melt in such a theophany. But if I survived it, I think I would be completely overwhelmed by that. Okay, the thing is, I have a thing on Tuesday, and I can't talk very well. Don't you know my brother Aaron, as Moses said. So let's do some comparing now between Jeremiah and Jesus. Where were those? There were lots of interesting parallels. Chosen from the womb, destined for rejection and conflict with his people, betrayed by those closest to him, preached against the popular status quo when it came to religion and politics, opposed by the people in charge of those things, condemned by death, a weak-willed civil magistrate. I love that. Those words are from John Bergsma, theologian, cast into a pit. Raised up again. Going to ask you, do any of those apply to you? Who is your caller? Who is your caller? It must be God. It must be God. Listen, we don't have time to fiddle around anymore. We got to be about listening and about obedience. Our caller must be God. Who is not your caller? Anything else? Now, you might really, really love this thing over here that's sparkly and maybe controversial or complicated and feel called to it. If it's not God or what God has asked you to do, then you're not called to that, beloved. That's a hard one. We've got to really do some thinking about what we're not called to. And what is your calling? What is not your calling? Your calling, simply said, is His purposes in the world. It's that simple. Our calling is to participate with God in His purposes for the world. Now, I think there's a thousand ways we can do that. But we've got to get the calling, we've got to get the task, we've got to get the word from God. What is not your calling? Anything that doesn't line up with participating with God in His purposes for the world. That ought to be this binary choice that we keep before us every day. God, I'm going to listen to You. You are the authorized caller. Today, I pray that You'll show me what are Your purposes for the world and how I can participate in that, telling the story. And would You please, I don't know about you, but I need this, would You please make really clear that which is not in keeping with Your purposes in the world? Can I get an amen up in here? I need help sorting that out. Do you? And maybe we'll get cast into a pit. I don't know. Maybe our ruling authorities won't like what we have to say. Maybe we'll be betrayed by those closest to us. I don't know. Maybe we will be destined for rejection and conflict with our very own people. Maybe we will be opposed and persecuted. Maybe we will be condemned to death. But beloved, I believe that because we call ourselves by the name of Christ, we were chosen and known from the womb. So your life is not yours. Who's the caller? Who's not the caller? What is the call? What is not the call? I want to introduce you to St. Brendan. And we're going to, when we leave today, do a kind of a blessing of calling that follows the story of St. Brendan. St. Brendan was an early Irish monk. He was a priest. He was an abbot. Abbot means Abba, after the word Abba Father. He was the leader of a monastery. He was born in County Kerry, you can't get more Irish than that, died in County Galway. He was known for his legendary sea voyages in a little bitty boat. He went to the Hebrides, he went to at least Western Scotland, he went to Wales, he went to Brittany, perhaps even the Canary Islands. There was this huge, epic voyage of St. Brendan, where he got into a little boat. And he wanted to go off to what he called the promised land of the saints and spread the word to participate with God and His purposes for the world. And this was his prayer. We ought to adopt it. Christ of the mysteries, can I trust You to be stronger than each storm within me? Listen to this. The sea takes me where I do not know. But I gladly go. Little recap. Who's your caller? Who is not? What is your calling? What is not? Where will the sea take you? I don't know. But will you gladly go? Let's pray. Father, You know us. You chose us. You have set us apart for holy purpose. We acknowledge this day that You are our caller. We acknowledge this day that You are the one to give the specifics of the call. We acknowledge this day that sometimes we have listened to other callers and taken up other calls that may not be in conformity with participating with You in Your purposes for the world. But like Jeremiah this day, we will listen and we will obey. Lord, in some ways we are all children often don't know what to say. But you have appointed us. Help us to hear, listen, obey, and then get in the boat. For we ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, who along with you, Father God and Holy Spirit, be glory and honor and blessing and praise and power and dominion, especially in our calling this day. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.